السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
الله عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book on these days is الداء والدواء by الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. الإمام ابن القيم was suggesting ways out of the troubles of life, ways out of discomfort in life, ways out of diseases and other problems that from day-to-day existence we find them and we find people in them, ways out of the life of sinfulness and iniquity directed towards Allah that makes the individual become wretched and unsettled in life. How does a person get out of these kinds of conditions? The first thing Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah suggested, and he gave full explanations and evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, is that the individual should get to regularly recite the Quran. Tilawatul Quran or Qira'atul Quran. Reciting the Quran, reading the Quran. The Quran itself and its reading is worship, and it's a major means to seek the help of Allah. Someone falls, he'll read the Quran unto him. Someone is an inconvenience, let him read the Quran. Reading it and getting benefited from the spiritual benefits connected to Qira'atul Quran. Someone fainted, someone was beaten by a scorpion. And all of these, we've mentioned a lot of examples. Reading the Quran is a means of finding ease for the problems of life. Ikhwa, reading the Quran, tilawatul Quran, qira'atul Quran, is a major means of finding solutions, finding ways out, finding means out of the troubles of life. Ikhwa, read the Quran. The second thing Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim suggested, rahimahullah, and he gave a lot of proof, a lot of explanation based on the Quran, based on the Sunnah and the Athar of Salaf, is that we should make dua. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us that الدعاء ينفعوا فيما نزل وفيما لم ينزل. Dua is beneficial regarding the things that have descended upon an individual. An individual is in trouble, make dua. An individual is in discomfort, ikhwa, make dua. Fima nazala, regarding the problems, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations of life that are already here with the individual. The least benefit you will get is that it will ease off that problem. It will ease it if it had already arrived, or in the best of it, by the permission of Allah, your dua will be a means of completely removing that problem in life. Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was in the belly of the fish and he called upon Allah. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allah commanded the whale carrying him in its belly to expel Yunus alayhi salam. Not just that, he was expelled to the seashore Allah commanded a tree to grow over him to provide him shade. Because he was coming from a cold environment, he should not be just exposed to the heat of the sun. Just immediately, it will affect his health. By his permission, Allah ordered that tree to be a tree of watermelon, with which he ate. He found solace in the flutes, and we know how beneficial the flutes of the watermelon is. All of these are mentioned in the Quran, and they were mentioned in the various places in this book, Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa, by Ibn al-Qayyim, citing things like this as the examples of the efficacy of dua. He also went on, rahimahullah, to teach us how to make very good, efficacious, and potent supplication and invocation to Allah. He gave us even expressions that are very efficacious, that make our dua become answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالدُّعَاءُ يَنْفَعُ فِي مَا نَزَلَ. So when the trouble is already on the ground, when the discomfort is already on the ground, when the problem has already arrived, dua is very, very, very beneficial. Wafima lam yanzil. Likewise, ikhwa, regarding problems that have not descended, there are always problems descending as trials for mankind. Regarding these, dua puts them away, dua shoves them away, dua diverts them away from us. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, عليكم عباد الله بالدعاء. So servants of Allah, عليكم بالدعاء. Stick to making dua. Ikhwa, make dua. Ask Allah for refuge. Ask Allah for help. Ask Allah for support. The third thing Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim gave as a solution to the problems of life, ikhwa, is that you extend good to others. Being kind to others, kindness to others. When you are kind to others, Allah becomes kind to you. He shows you kindness. When you forgive others, you get forgiveness. When you help others, you get help. When you provide support, you get support. He said, rahimahullah, فَمَسْتُجْلِبَتْنِي عَمُ اللَّهِ. No one attracts and brings to himself Allah's mercy, was to the fiat niqamuhu, or puts away Allah's anger and punishment, bimithli ta'atihi, using something that is as efficacious as ta'atullah, obedience to Allah, wa taqarrubi ilayhi, seeking nearness to Allah, wal ihsan ila khalqihi, and being kind to the creatures of Allah. The third major way, ikhwa, to get out of the problems of life is kindness to people. Al-ihsanu ila khalqillah. Showing kindness, showing help, showing support, providing food, providing the need of the people. People are in need. You also want something from Allah. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Da'u mardakum bis sadaqa. Provide care for your sick ones. How? You give sadaqa. You have somebody at home who is sick. You have somebody at home who is ill. You have a wife in the hospital waiting to deliver a baby. The doctors have said, no, she can't deliver. She can't, she can't, she can't. Ikhwa, we have heard many, many can't. And wallahi, with dua, with sadaqah, Allah makes them can. You just hear that, the child just turned now and the woman delivered peacefully. One of the ways to obtain that is sadaqah. The woman is in the hospital. One of the ways to get out of problems, to get out of difficulty, to get out of heavy mind-bothering situations, One of the ways to get out of them is by being kind to people. Ibn al-Qayyim brought this forward, rahimahullah, and said that there is also the other side of it. When you are harsh with the people, Allah brings you harshness. When you are disobedient to Allah, you get evil rewards. He went on to tell us a very major point in the life of an individual. He said, rahimahullah, citing various verses of the Quran. Ibn al-Qayyim said to us, after citing various verses of the Quran and mentioning to us how these things occur in the Quran, he said, "Wa bil jumlati," in a nutshell, "Fal Quranu min awwalihi ila akhirihi sarihun fi tarattubil jazaa'i bil khayri wa sharri." If you look at the Quran from the beginning to its end, the Quran is sarih. It is very clear regarding tarattub al jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala al asbab. The Quran is very clear that there is tarattub al jaza' bil khayri wa sharri ala al asbab. That there is always a connection, there is always an incumbency. One thing leads to the other. What is that? Bil khair, the result, the recompense of goodness or the recompense of evil is connected to the asbab, the means by which you got there. If you create the conditions, if you follow the conditions of evil, they will lead you to evil results. If the cause is evil, the effect will be evil. If the means is evil, the end will be evil. Always, things lead to other things. Likewise, he made us understand that this is common. This is the law of Allah regarding al-ahkamul kawniyya, the laws within the universe upon which the universe runs. This universe runs upon the fact that one thing leads to the other. One thing brings another result. One thing brings another result. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. He even said, wal amriya, even al ahkamul amriya. Laws in any society, they are based on things like this. Laws in every society are based on things like this. So they will say there is law for stealing, the penal code, all of these. Anybody who does this gets this. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. If you do this, you get this. The same thing. If you apply for government loan, you get this. If you apply like this, you get this. So the way one good means leads to a good end, the same way one evil means leads to an evil end. So anybody who wants goodness, he must follow the path to goodness. Anyone who follows the path of evil, it will not land him upon anything except evil. So everything, results have conditions that led to those results. Ends have means that led to them. Likewise, effects have causes that led to them. Goals have means you must follow to achieve them. If you want to be a medical doctor, you must attend a medical school. So the means is a medical school. The goal is that your ultimate goal to get become a medical doctor. If you want to become a lawyer, you must attend university and then a law school. The ultimate goal is you want to become a lawyer. The means to it is attending a law school. So these things are connected to themselves in the Qadar of Allah. They are connected to themselves in the preordainment of Allah. If you are hungry, you eat food. The means to satiate hunger is eating food. The goal is to satiate hunger. If you want to quench thirst, you drink water. So the two are from the preordainments of Allah. Allah has preordained that it is water you drink that is the means to satiate or quench your thirst. Allah has preordained that the means to satisfy your hunger is for you to eat food. All these are preordainments. The lesson here is that goals have means. If you want to achieve the goal, you must follow the means. The other side of this coin is that every means leads to a goal. It's just one single coin. If you want to achieve a goal, you must follow a means. Tarattubu al-jaza'i bil-khayri wa-shari al-asbab. Every goal has a means to it. And if you start following every means, you must understand that it will lead you somewhere. So if you are upon the deeds of righteousness, it will lead you to Al-Jannah. The Al-Jannah is the goal. You can also start from the goal. My goal is that I want to enter Al-Jannah. Then you must follow the means. Likewise, those who are upon the means that brings people into Jahannam, they must understand it. This road you are following, do you know where it leads to? It leads to Jahannam. Likewise, if a person is upon righteousness, it is clear. This road you are following, do you know where it leads to? It leads to Al-Jannah. This is starting with the means. On the other hand, you can start with the goals. To determine your goals, I want to be from the people of Al-Jannah. Then we'll say, if you want to be from the people of Al-Jannah, you have to follow the means. You have to follow the road that leads to Al-Jannah. This basic principle in life, this basic principle about our religion. Ibn al-Qayyim said, Rahimahullah, وَمَنْ فَقِهَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. Anyone who properly understands this matter, وَتَأَمَّلَ هَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ, and properly and deeply thinks about this issue, وَتَأَمَّلَهَا حَقَّ التَّأَمُّلِ, he gives thoughts to it as is appropriate, انْتَفَعَ بِهَا غَايَةَ النَّفْعِ, such a person will make a lot, tremendous benefit from it. What is that? You are certain that everything you do, it has an effect. Every condition you feel, you fulfill, it has a result. Every means you follow, it has an end. Likewise, on the other side of that coin, if you want a goal, you must follow the means to it. If you want a result, you must pursue the means that will lead you to that result. It's a very, very important principle. He said, whoever understands this in life, intafa'a bihi aw intafa'a biha ghayatan naf'i, that person will tremendously, he will tremendously make a lot of benefit. A person who lives a life that he understands that everything he says has a consequence. Every statement you make has a consequence. Every action you make has a consequence. It has a result to take you somewhere, good or bad. So if you want a good end, you must follow the means that leads to a good end. If you want a good result, you must follow the means. If you are in a problem, you must get out of that problem with the means that have been created and established by Allah to get out of that problem. Otherwise, it will be worse, it will be worse, it will be worse, it will be worse. We gave many examples in the previous classes. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he emphasized this point so much so that he said, بَلْ لَا يُمْكِنُ الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَعِيشَ إِلَّا بِذَلِكِ. It is not possible for an individual to exist except by following this rule. You are tired, you need to rest. If you are tired, you are exhausted, you need rest. If you are sick, you need tablets, you need dua. You want children, you need to marry. You need to cohabit with your family. You need to be a responsible man if you want children. So everything you do, it has a means that leads to it. If an antelope finds a lion in the wilderness, what does it do? It has to run away. So one means to protect itself is a runaway. If that is its goal, your goal to escape the hands, the pangs of a predator is to run away as a prey. You run away from it. Even animals understand that. They find means to achieving their goals. They understand that their goals have means. If you watch the animal life documentaries very well, you find that once a lion has a cub, it begins to teach the cub how to do what? How to pray, how to pursue a prey. It teaches it the means to obtaining its goals in life for which it was created. It's a predator. Predators run after their prey. So as a predator, you must know how to search for a prey and run after it. So even animals, lower animals, teach their young ones how to achieve their goals in life. So it is difficult for an individual to live without knowing how to follow the means to obtaining your goals in life. It's very, very important. This is what Wallahu Alam, the psychologists and the sociologists and all of these people, they refer to as the life of deliberateness. You are deliberate about everything you are doing. This is a major point. You want to righteously get into Al-Jannah. You want to get into Al-Jannah, you need righteousness. You need Tawbah. You need Iman. You need Al-A'malu Salihah, good deeds. That is the road that leads to Al-Jannah. You need to do deeds with which Allah will pardon you. That is the road to Al-Jannah. That is a road to goodness. So very important. If you have goals, you must know the means of obtaining those goals. And if you are following a particular means, you must be able to determine this means, where will it take me to? It will certainly take you somewhere. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah taught us this basic rule about being deliberate in life. Tarattu bil jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala al a'mal. Qa'idatu tarattu bil jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala al a'mal. The basic rule of understanding that both goodness and evil are based upon the asbab for them. They are the deeds of for the two of them. If your goal is a goal of goodness, you must follow the means to it. On the other hand, if you are upon any means, you must know where that means leads you to. What I'm doing now, where will it lead me to? Or what I want to achieve, how do I go about it? You want a robot that can speak African languages if you are an AI person. Will you not understand the program you need to write to get that kind of a robot? If your goal, do people even write computer programs without understanding what they want to achieve with those programs? So you know what you want to achieve, then it makes you understand the kind of programs to write. In fact, you know the kind of language to use. You know the kind of things you must include in that language, whether as part of the general language, it's another language part of it. Where to introduce it, what to bring to it. In all of these, you are following a means that will lead you to an end. What is that end? That's your robot. You want to speak all African languages. So you either start with the goals to determine your means, or you understand where you are, your means, to know that this is my means, so it will lead me to somewhere. It is called the life of deliberateness by general basic science. And this is what this imam is discussing. Rahimahullah. Qa'idatu tarattu bil jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala al asbab. That means definite, it will lead you to somewhere. It will lead you to somewhere. So if you want goodness, you are in a problem, you do goodness. You don't, for example, get into financial crisis and you take riba loans. That is not the qadar of Allah to get out of financial crisis. If you take riba, you are just changing face from one problem to the next problem. So if you are upon something, you must know where this thing you are doing will lead you to. And if you want something, on the other hand, the other side of the coin, you want something, you must know the means to get there. This qaida is very, 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 very important in the life of an individual. He said, "Rahimahullah, فهذه المسألة من أشرف المسائل لمن عرف قدرها." This basic rule we are talking about, he said, "من أشرف المسائل," is one of the most honorable basic rules to understand. It's one of the most important things. "من أشرف المسائل." It's a basic rule to understand. "لمن عرف قدرها," for the one who understands the significance of this basic rule. It makes you live a life of deliberateness. So for everything you want to do, you are intentional. For everything you want to do, you have a ta'ammul, careful consideration. For everything you want to do, you are thoughtful. For everything you want to do, you are taking some unhurried action towards them. Look at these four steps. You are intentional. You set your goals. Then you carefully consider, you weigh the ideas, you weigh the consequences before you take those decisions. Then you live a life of thoughtfulness. You think about everything well. And then you are unhurried because you properly situate yourself, you situate your goals, and you situate the means by which you want to achieve those goals before you set out. In fact, as you set out to achieve those goals, you are constantly reviewing your steps. Am I getting there or not? Ikhwa, this life is very important. That was why he said, "فَهَذِهِ الْمَسْأَلَةِ." This issue we are talking about, that we understand everything that I do will lead me somewhere. And if I want to go somewhere, I have to do something. Not just sleep on the bed, not just rest. Like he said, Rahimahullah, "Walam yattakil ala al-qadari jahalan minhu." You not say, "No, I'm waiting for my predest. I'm waiting for my own fortune. I'm waiting for my own. I want to become rich." He's on his bed in the morning. He wants to become rich. He's sleeping on his bed, waiting that if it is in my qadar that I'll be rich, I'll be rich. So why am I struggling to go out to look for some la? La yattakil ala al-qadari jahlan. This is ignorance. Wa ajzan. This is indolence. Wa tafriitan. This is negligence. Wa ida'atan. This is deliberate failure. You want a goal, but you don't want to stand up to pursue that goal. You will not only pursue the goal, you will properly pursue that goal. Everybody must understand this about life. You want to be an engineer, you must study mathematics, physics, chemistry well, and pass well. This is the foundation. Then you write the JAMB in our own country. You choose the appropriate university that offer the appropriate courses in engineering where you want to specialize. You go from part one to part two, part like that. You must take the steps that lead to your goals. And when you have goals, you must follow the means. When you are upon something, you must be taking it. Am I okay? This is the life of the deliberateness of a Muslim. If you live a life like this, you will avoid so many things. You'll be a disciplined individual. You'll be an achiever. You'll be a successful person. Because your life will be based on being intentional. Your life will be based on careful consideration. Your life will be based on thoughtfulness and careful steps. Take careful steps for everything you do, for everything you say. For you, nothing goes except that it is upon purpose. This lifestyle is called the lifestyle of deliberateness. It's a a major way in life to be a successful person. The life of deliberateness, careful consideration for everything. Why? You understand that everything will lead you somewhere. You also understand that if you want to get somewhere, then you must follow the means that get you there. Very important in life. It's a single coin with two sides. You either start from the goals. This is my goal. Then you start looking for the means that gets you to that goal. Or the other way, you are upon some particular means. You must understand this, what I'm doing now. Where will it lead me to? Is that a coin of two sides? This is what the Imam referred to as Mas'alatu tarattubil jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala al asbab. Tarattubil jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala madha ala al asbab. The rewards of goodness, the rewards of sins, the rewards of evils, they are all based upon the means that you follow. If you want goodness, you follow the means to goodness. If you want evil, you are upon the means of evil. Wait for the results, wait for the repercussions. May Allah protect us, rahimahullah. It's a basic rule. It will lead you to somewhere. It will lead you to somewhere. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, "Kullu nasi yagdu, wa ba'i'u nafsa." In the morning like this, everybody wakes up, comes out of the house. Ba'i'u nafsa. It's as if you present your life for sale. You want to sell. You want to present your life. My life, my affairs are available. He said, "Famutikuha aw mubikuha." Some people free themselves. They liberate themselves. They take the steps daily as they come out. Aw mubikuha. Some people put their lives to destruction. So there's always a connection between what you do and the results that you get. Just look at it. Every result, it has something behind it that led to it. Every effect has a cause. So the two, both the effect and the cause, they have both been created and preordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the way this dunya is. And that is the way the laws of the akhirah are too. The dunya and akhirah are based on that. That's why if you want al-jannah, you must start preparing for al-jannah with the deeds of al-jannah. And those who are upon the deeds of Jahannam, we wonder, hey, this line you are following leads to Jahannam, because it will certainly lead to somewhere. Did you not hear Allah saying that Hal jaza'ul ihsan illa al-ihsan? Does goodness have any reward except goodness? So if you are upon the deeds of goodness, you certainly get goodness. So ikhwa, check yourself. Review your activities. Be thoughtful. Know where you are. Where am I even going? What I'm doing now, where will it lead me to? Because it will certainly lead you to somewhere. So, and the most honorable amongst us are those who understand this. And they quickly change the course of their movement if they need to change. But you must understand it, that what you are doing now will lead you to somewhere. And that if you want to get somewhere, you must be ready to follow the means that leads to that place. Very important. Qa'idatu tarattubil jaza'i bil khayri wa sharri ala al asbab. Your rewards of goodness or your rewards of evil, repercussions for evil, they have means that leads to it. This is the qadar of Allah. Both the goals and the ends are from qadar. Both of them are from qadar. So you respond to the qadar of achieving your goals by following the qadar of the means that Allah has created together with it. This one goes with this one like this. That one goes with that one like that. It is Allah that has preordained the dunya to be like that. And he has also made the rulings and the rewards of akhirah to be like that. You get to where you are going according to what you do. He said, rahimahullah, لكن يبقى عليه أمران. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, if you are upon the copy that's displayed on the screen, we are on page 35. He said, rahimahullah, لكن يبقى عليه أمران. But there are two things that are still left connected to that basic rule. The basic rule that deeds lead to particular destination. And that if you want a particular destination, you must follow what will lead you to that destination. I call it qa'idatu tarattu bil jaza'i bil khairi wa sharri ala al asbab. Tarattu bil jaza'i bil khairi wa sharri ala al asbab. All khair and shar, they have their own asbab. If it is khair, follow the asbab for khair. If you are up on the asbab for shar, it will get you to shar. There is no gain. That is the qadar itself. So follow the qadar with qadar. Follow the qadar for goodness with qadar for the means of achieving that goodness. They are both qadar. It is not from qadar that the man wants to become rich and is sleeping. No, you have to walk, stand up. Or the man has diabetes and is consuming sugar. It has a result on your diabetes. It is not complementary at all. That is not the path to get cure for diabetes. You're only worsening your case. Ikhwa, let us get it right. Qa'idatu tarattu bil jaza'i bil khairi wa sharri ala al asbab. Al jaza'u bil khairi wa sharri, they are all connected to asbab. He said, lakin yabqa alayhi amran. But there are two things regarding that issue that are left for us to understand. Bihima, with these two things, tatimu sa'adatuhu wa falahuhu. His sa'ada, his delight in life, the individual's joy in life, wa falahuhu, and his success in life, tatimu, they will both become perfected. Two things, if you have now understood that every step leads to somewhere. And if I want to get somewhere, I have to take the appropriate steps. This is the basic rule. He said, Rahimahullah, there are two things that are left. It will make that first understanding to be perfect. And you become a person of sa'ada, a person of joy, delight, happiness, wal falah, and success. He said, lakin yabqa alayhi amran bihima tatimmu sa'adatuhu wa falahu. There are two things we need to understand about what we just discussed, that qa'ida. With these two things, bi'idhnillah, tatimmu sa'adatuhu wa falahu. The individual's happiness and his success will become perfected, bi'idhnillah. You get to your destination properly. Once you now understand, okay, two things. How do I get there? The first one, ahaduhuma, the first of those two things, an ya'rifa tafasil asbab ash-sharr wal khair, an ya'rifa tafasil asbab ash-sharr wal khair, an ya'rifa tafasil asbab ash-sharr wal khair. You now know that khair has asbab. Goodness has means. Shar has asbab. Then you need to understand the details of the asbab of khair and the details of the asbab of shar. The details of the means of goodness and the details of the means of evil. You have to know the two. If you don't know the two, you may confuse one for the other. You may need to write to achieve, get that your robot to speak the languages that you want. You need to use Java, as they say, I think. And you'll be using Fortran. Do we remember Fortran? Fortran programming. Where you're supposed to employ Java, you'll be looking for Fortran. Where you're supposed to, I think there's one language too, they call Python. Where you're supposed to use Python, you'll be using Java or Fortran or HTML. It will not get you to your destination even if you are making efforts to get to your destination. Why? You don't know the details that can get you to your destination. Did you not hear Allah tell us in the Quran? Nunabbi'ukum bil akhsarina amala. Allazina dhalla sa'yuhum fil hayati dunya. Wahum yahsabuna annahum yuhsinuna sun'a. It is because they don't understand tafasil asbab al-shari wal-khair. Someone wants goodness truly. Allah calls them akhsarina amala, the greatest losers of their deeds. They are actually struggling. Is the Christian not struggling? Is the Buddhist not struggling? Is the Hindu not struggling? Dalla sa'yuhum. Yes, this their struggle is in error. Wahum yahsabuna annahum yuhsinuna sun'a. But they are thinking that they are getting it right. They are already upon a loss. So if you want to arrive at Subulus Salam, like Allah called it, you want to arrive on the harbor of success and goodness, you need to understand the details. How do I really get there? In terms of goodness, how do I really get there? If it is evil, you must know this path I'm following her to lead to evil. When people have business ideas, they give it to specialists to develop those ideas. What does that mean? To write the details step by step on how to achieve the project. You want to run a bridge. You say it is fourth mainland bridge in Lagos. You are a governor of the state, for example. You want a fourth bridge from somewhere to somewhere in Lagos, across the ocean or across the river. This is your goal. How about the details of how to achieve that goal? You now call engineers, you call lawyers, you call negotiators, you call investors, because the effort of all of these people put together will get you that bridge that you want. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, that one of the things we must now understand when we know that means leads to goals, we must understand that we must know tafasil asbab al-shari wal-khair, the details of that your goal, if it is good, the details of the things that leads to evil, you must know it. You must know the details. Because if you don't know, did you not hear Arabs say, Araftu sharra la li sharri? I understand evil, not because I want to commit evil, but I know this thing is evil. It will lead to evil. And that's why the best of the people of Islam are those who had been upon Jahiliyyah. Why? They know the roads to it. So understanding the details that leads to goals help you understand and achieve your goals. You may have a good goal, really, Lota. Your goal, your mashallah, good objectives, but you don't know how to achieve it. Many parents want their children to be righteous, but they don't know how to achieve it. Many parents want their children to memorize the Quran and still be people of this dunya too, engineers, lawyers, doctors. But they don't know how to go about combining the two. They don't know. So while the goal is there and it's quite achievable, they don't know how to get there. So you can't achieve your goals, even if you intend to achieve those goals, if you don't understand the fossil, the details of how then do I get there. It's very important. Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, وَيَكُونُ لَهُ بَصِيرَةٌ فِي ذَلِكِ. So in those details, he has basira. He will be employing deep insights, looking at it very well, checking well regarding the details of how he will achieve his goals. We are not just talking about the goals now. We have agreed everything you do leads you to a destination. The issue now is, how do I get to that destination? The tafasil, the details of getting there. You must know it together with you're intending to get to your destination. You must know, how do I get there? I want to get to Al-Jannah. What are the deeds of Al-Jannah? The first of them is Tawheed. The first deed of Al-Jannah is Tawheed. and abstinence from shirk. The first deed of Al-Jannah is Tawheed and abstinence from shirk. That one will be followed by Salat, Khamsu Salawat. The second major deed of Al-Jannah, Khamsu Salawat, at their times and properly. The third major deed of Al-Jannah, fasting in Ramadan, properly and appropriately. The fourth major deed of Al-Jannah, Zakah, paying Zakah properly. You see Islam? The fifth major deed of Al-Jannah is Hajj, well performed. Did you not hear him say that? Hajjun mabrurun, laysa lahu jazaw illa al-jannah. It's a well-performed Hajj. Laysa lahu jaza. It has no goal. It will not lead to something except what? Jannah. A well-performed Hajj. It does not have anywhere it will lead you to except where? Al-Jannah. You see now? Then we start talking about other obligatory deeds, other nawafils, other things. So this is from understanding the details of how to achieve the goal of being inside Al-Jannah. The same thing, you want to understand the details of having a child. How do I do that? The goal is having a child. As a young boy in the university or a young girl in the university starting, how do I have children? How do I establish my home? If this is your goal, you must start learning the details of achieving those goals. How do I get there? How do I become a young boy who grows up to have a successful home? You must understand the details of how I get there. How do I get there? How do I reach that destination? Ibn al-Qayyim said, rahimahullah, you get this, bima yushahiduhu fil alami. He'll give us 6 ways. And these are the 6 things, bi'idhnillah, we quickly run through now. We'll come back to them with fuller explanations in the next class. How do we know the details of achieving our goals in life? Because if we don't know the details of achieving the goals in life, we will not be able to achieve those goals, even if we have lofty goals. You will not be able to achieve them. Means leads to a goal. Okay, how do I know the means that leads to my goal? The details of the means that leads to the goal that I want. How do I know? He gave us 6 ways. I titled them Asbabu Ma'rifati Tafasili Asbabil Khair wa Shar, the means of knowing the details of the means of goodness or the means of evil. You with these things, these 6 things, you will know good and evil. The first one, Bima yushahiduhu fil alami, what you yourself you see. How you see people become doctors, that is the way to become a doctor. You are seeing it. You are reading it. You're understanding it. Oh, this is the way someone who became a professor, this was the step he took. Ma yushahiduhu, what you see, what you observe, what you note fil alam, in the world. The second way, ma jarrabahu fi nafsihi wa ghayrihi, his own experiences. Fi nafsihi, jarrabahu, what he has seen practically in his own life. And what he saw in somebody near him. You have a friend who was behaving in a particular way, you saw where it led him to. So you know that, oh, anybody who behaves like this, it will lead him to that place. Because you saw that of your friend. Or you had had some personal experiences that were bad. They make you understand, oh, if I do this, last time I did this thing and I didn't get it right. When I did it, the result wasn't okay. I invested in so thing and the investment went away. Like that. Ma jarrabahu fi nafsihi wa ghairi. What he experiences regarding himself and the experiences that he sees regarding his friends and those near him and other people. That's why the aides of presidents have been writing books about their superiors. Why? So that people can learn lessons from it. People can take lessons from it. Then ma sami'ahu, the third one. Wa ma sami'ahu من أخبار الأمم قديما وحديثا. What you hear and read and study من أخبار الأمم قديما وحديثا, from the reports and history of nations in the past and in the present. The first one, ما يشاهده في العالم, what you yourself you are seeing. The second one, ما جربه في نفسه وغيره, what you experience with yourself, what you see. This is what I have seen. If you see how people became medical doctors, you have not experienced being a medical doctor. So what you experience and what you see others experience. The third one, ما سمعه من أخبار الأمم, what you have heard from the stories of nations. قديماً, in the past, وحديثة, and today. What have nations, what have we seen, people, huge nations, what has happened, history. That's why some of the best, most intelligent people of the world are those who have studied a lot of history. They have tariq. Well, somewhere, someday, this kind of a thing has happened. So you take experience from what has happened. The fourth way, Ibn al-Qayyim called it, rahimahullah, he said, وَمِنْ أَنْفَعِ مَا فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَهُ, from the best and the most beneficial means of knowing the details of the things that lead to evil and goodness is تَدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ. He mentioned it number four, تَدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ, contemplating and studying the Qur'an. Studying the Qur'an and thinking about it. Studying the Qur'an and reasoning about it. Contemplating تدبر القرآن. He called it أنفع ما في ذلك, the most beneficial of that. So call that number four. We are coming back to it. He said فإنه كفيل بذلك, because the Qur'an is full of that. على أكمل الوجوه, in the best of forms. The Quran is full of telling you, this one will lead to this. If you lead to this, you get this. Those who did this got that. Those who did this got here. Those who did this got here. Those who did this, it. So the Quran is to be pondered upon. You learn a lot of lessons of life in the Quran. You learn a lot of lessons of deen in the Quran. You learn a lot of lessons of dunya in the Quran. Even about your day-to-day affairs. That is not issues of halal, haram. You see a lot in the Quran. From the stories, from the rulings of ahkam, the wisdoms of the Quran, handling people, relating with people, handling yourself, handling your life. How do you achieve this? How do you achieve that? You get those messages from the Quran. What you say, what you should not say. What you do, what you should not do. When, where, how. He said, فَإِنَّهُ كَفِيلٌ بِذَلِكَ, the Quran is full of all of these. He guarantees you that. عَلَىٰ أَكْمَلِ الْوُجُوهِ, in the most perfect form. He said, وَفِيهِ أَسْبَابُ الشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ جَمِيعًا مُفَصَّلَةً مُبَيَّنَةً, the Quran contains أَسْبَابُ الشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ. It will tell you everything that will lead you to evil. Quran will tell you. Wal khair, everything that will lead you to goodness, the Quran will tell you. Ikhwa, jami'an, all, mufassalatan, well explained, mubayyanatan, well clarified, is bayan, mufassalat, tafsil, in details, and with good explanations, mubayyanatan. You find it in the Quran. Min anfa'i ma fi ذلك له تدبر القرآن فإنه كفيل بذلك على أكمل الوجوه وفيه أسباب الشر والخير جميعا مفصلة مبينة. That is number four. We are coming back to all of these, inshallah. ثم السنة, then sunnah. Number five means of knowing, how do I know the details of goodness, the details of the means to achieve goodness, and the details of what leads to evil. Sunnah, hadith. He said, فَإِنَّهَا شَقِيقَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, because the sunnah is the sister of the Quran, the same father and mother. Shaqiq is your brother, the same father and mother. Shakika is your sister, the same father and mother. Ibn al-Qayyim referred to the Sunnah as what? Shakikatul Quran. They are both from the same source. Brothers from the same source. Sisters from the same source. The same father, the same mother. He said, Rahimahullah, wa hiya al-wahyu thani. That is the second revelation. Wa man sarafa ilayhima inayatahu. Anybody who directs the entirety of his attention to these two things, the Quran and the Sunnah, that are brothers and sisters, iktafa bihima an ghayrihima, you will suffice with the Quran and the Sunnah. You leave others, it will tell you everything. Everything in details, explanation, Quran will tell you. And when you pay attention to the Quran and the Sunnah, wallah, you will get everything inside it. You get everything. You get everything. Everything that will lead you to goodness, you see it in the Quran. Everything that will lead you to evil, you will see the Quran. We warn you. This one will lead you. This one will lead you. This one will lead you to evil. This one will lead you to evil. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you not hear what the Prophet said? Abu Dharr al-Ghifari reported that hadith in the Mu'jam of Al-Imam al-Tabarani. It also occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, and on that note, I will stop today. He said, ma bakiya shay'un yuqarribu min al-jannah wa yuba'idu min al-nari illa wa qad buyyina lakum. Ma baki, there is nothing that is left. Yuqarribu min al-jannah, that will push you towards al-jannah. Wa yuba'idu min al-nar, and put you away from Jahannam, something that will bring you to al-jannah. All of them, illa wa qad buyyina lakum, I have explained all to you. The Prophet said, so from the Quran and from the Sunnah, we also get the details of how to obtain khair, goodness, and the details of the means that bring someone to evil ends and evil repercussions. Bismillah, let us stop here. Let us stop here today, because the time is already far spent above the Rahman. Can we take one or two questions?
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخ.
آمين وأنتم فجزاكم الله خير.
نعم. The question here is, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أفيدك
الله يا شيخ. ورحمة الله وبركاته.
He's pondering over the Quran without making one weak. A weakness in someone.
Well, it may be a weakness. We'll come back to issues regarding Tadabbur al-Quran. But usually, when the heart is far away from the Noor, from the light, you'll be pondering about it, and you may find it difficult. You may find it difficult to weep. At the same time, you don't have to weep. There is nothing that says you have to read the Quran and weep. No. You may read the Quran, understand the Quran, take the lessons, and it is shaping your life, and you are not weeping. On the other hand, the individual may weep, looking at other things, looking at his weakness, looking at his shortcomings, looking at how really he desires goodness and how he has not done enough. He feels sorry for himself. And he weeps. Sometimes you think about the mightiness of Allah and you become overwhelmed. You not only weep, the tears will drop from your face. So all of these, they are there. But it does not mean each time you read the Quran and ponder upon it, you have to weep. No. It does not necessarily mean so. So if I don't weep, then something is wrong. No, it doesn't mean this at all. They don't mean that at all, even though people don't pay attention to this. We are coming back to this. The first solution he preferred was about Tilawatul Quran. Here he's talking about what? Tadabbur al-Quran. Thinking about and pondering about the Quran. So in a nutshell, not weeping when you read the Quran does not necessarily mean that the mind is weak. Even though it may mean for some people who get really engrossed really engrossed in sins. So the hearts are dead. But over time, the life, the mind will come back to life. And what will bring it life is Quran. When you regularly recite the Quran and ponder over the Quran, that dead mind will gradually become a life, a mind that will be coming back to life gradually. It may take a month, it may take one day, it may take 2 days, it may take a year, it may take 5 years, depending on how previously destroyed that mind was. The cells have to be woken up again gradually. They have to be watered gradually. The way to do that is also reading the Quran. So some people, they start reading the Quran 3, 4, 5 months, they've not seen changes. It's because your mind had been far away. You had gone. So the tilling of the land, cultivating it, adding manure, has to take some little time before that mind becomes a mind that is alive again, that can germinate the fruits of Iman. Bismillah, we are coming back to all of that, inshallah. There's a question here about Abdul Rahman. When one has identified his goals and the actions he needs to put forward to achieve those goals, but often he feels weak and lazy to execute these actions. He needs a lot of dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal ajzi wal kasal. Those dua we read and studied in the last class on Al-Adab al-Mufrad, you need them a lot, begging Allah to grant you refuge away from Al-Ajz, inability, not always being able to do something. Wal-Kasal, ability to do it, but lacking the willingness to stand up and do it. You'll be begging Allah, that is where the problem lies. The problem of Al-Ajz and what? Al-Kasal. Or al-jubun, cowardice, and al-buhul, stinginess. You'll be making the dua, asking Allah to beg, to help protect you from that. There's a question here too. Will there be consequences for bad deeds in this dunya, even after you have sincerely made tawbah? All these questions have been answered by Ibn al-Qayyim here. In this book, Ad-Da'u Ad-Dawa, someone was really upon sins and he began to make tawbah. Those sins he had done in the past, will he still see the consequence? There are some that he will see and there are some that he may not see. I can give you an example. A young virgin girl becomes indecent. She makes tawbah and Allah forgave her for her indecency. Will she go back to become a virgin? The fact that Allah has forgiven her, does that return her to the state of being a virgin? So if she cannot return to become a virgin, is she still suffering the consequence of sin or not? Someone became indecent, became pregnant, and had a child. You now make tawbah. Does that child go back to your womb? So you can see there are some of those sins. You continue to live with the outcomes of the sin even after your tawbah. You were upon indecency, you cut your fingers. Yahoo boy, he cuts his finger to do Yahoo. If he turns and makes tawbah, will that finger come back to the hand? So he may make tawbah, Allah accepts his tawbah, but he's still suffering from the consequence of the sin that he had made. I hope that is clear, but we have, bismillah, fuller explanations we will have from Ibn al-Qayyim in this book, Ad-Da'u Ad-Dawa, the implications of sins and the kinds of impact that a tawbah will bring. May Allah protect us. Abdul Rahman, can we call it a day today?
No, ya Shaykh.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa alaykum.